the hope we've got is the resurrection. And the problem with Christianity today, the resurrection means nothing. And because we have the doctrines of demons in our midst. And I'm just going to give you some examples. You know, there's a guy, you know, Benjamin Conway, who's going to be with David this weekend. And we're going to read his statement of beliefs. You know, just give you an idea of what people think, what's going on. What we believe at the Tree of Life Church about Jesus, the Bible, and the Church. What's wrong with that?
Where's Yahweh?
Yeah, where's Yahweh? What we believe, if you believe you're a Trinitarian, it would be what we believe about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? But so it's gone so far now, it is what we believe at the Tree of Life is about Jesus. That's it. And you're going to see other things like that. So the Bible is infallible, which is good, but you're not going to use the Bible for your beliefs. And the Old and New Testament, we believe that although the entirety of the Bible is written for us, not all of it is written to us, and we must rightly divide the Word of God as Christians living under the New Covenant and not under the Old and Obsolete Testament.
Obsolete?
Yeah. So I addressed all this. I wrote David a letter. I just started showing you what he means. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Thou shalt, you know, hear, O Israel, Yahweh is thy God, Yahweh alone. And go on. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's Leviticus 19. You know, when you start looking through all the good laws, you know, just go on. And so you're like, how dare you just say
that? About thy neighbor.
This guy's running a church. Now watch this. We believe in one God. You know, this is his statement of beliefs. He has and always been a loving unity of three persons who are all equally divine, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But this person doesn't worship the Father or the Holy Spirit. He worships Jesus. We believe Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, that he is God become human. Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, one person with two distinct natures. We believe that God made every man and woman spirit, soul, and body. Every human is a spirit with a living soul that lives within a body. And so you start thinking about this. These are the three components of every person, spirit, soul, and body. So we're going to go a whole thing on soul. And the fall of man. Though the fall of man, every human is now born with a dead spirit. That it is not connected. Yeah, dead spirit. I mean, so this person says we go by the Bible. And you just go, bam, bam, bam. What chapter and verse does this come from? What chapter and verse does this come from? And so once you go, what you realize is Yahweh's word was not complete. So you must add to it. And as I told him, you know, I contacted this guy and said, you're cursed. And he got really indignant. But you are. If you add to the word of Yahweh, what's it saying? Galatians 1, 6, 9. A cursed let you be. It says it twice. You know, any other gospel than what I have done, and he said the Apostle Paul was a Trinitarian. I mean, so you're looking at the audacity. But my thing is to contact him. But it has a dead spirit that is not connected to God, and with a soul that is darkened and with a mortal body. So a fallen man has a dead spirit, a soul that is darkened, and has a mortal body. Now this is making up as you go. But, so this is just an example. What's just common? I mean, this is Andrew Womack.
It's not unusual.
Everybody else. I mean, what we're going to see is absent from the body is present with the Lord. So we're going to see what the Catholic Church says about soul. And I'm just going to highlight some things in their encyclopedia. And so the whole purpose of the soul is that man is material, and so something lives on after he dies. And so they just fabricate this. And I've got a really good book on it by Joseph Priestley, who goes through 400 pages, to show when he says soul, what they're talking about are thoughts and things like that. But he says, and people would call that immaterial, not with atoms. And he's going to say, no, it's all with atoms, because once you connect the source, you don't have any activity. You know, once you're asleep, you have no activity. That thing is not dancing around, yeah, separate from you. getting information, reading books while you sleep, digesting things. It has nothing to do with that, but we say this. And all of Christianity is based upon that doctrine of demon, the soul. And so here's the Catholic Encyclopedia, and they got the Greek word for psuche, but no Hebrew word, which would be nephesh. And it has nothing to do with what they're going to say. The question of the reality of the soul and its distinction from the body is among the most important problems of philosophy, for which it is bound up by the doctrine of future life. The soul may be defined as the ultimate internal principle by which we think, feel, and will, and which our bodies are animated. If there be a life after death, clearly the agent or subject of our vital activities must be capable of an extensive separation from the body. So the point, and I'm going to keep going through this, is the Creator
messed up.
Cannot create you back from nothing in your resurrection. So there must be some part that's going to keep ground, because that's impossible. I mean, it really comes down to that's impossible. You know, that once you die and you're eaten by a lion, or you're processed into a meat grinder and everybody eats you like cannibals, well, how is he going to raise that body? See, and this is where the whole thing comes in. It doesn't make any difference. Cremate somebody, it doesn't make any difference. See, this is the Creator, for goodness sake. But they can't live with that. So here's what happens on the soul. Early literature bears the same stamp of dualism. In the Rig Veda and other literary books of India, we find frequent references to the coming and going of manas, minus soul. Manas, M-A-N-A-S, manas, and minus soul. So here, India religions. Now, this is in the Catholic Encyclopedia. In Homer, while the distinction of soul and body is recognized, the soul is hardly conceived of possession of substantial existence of their own. Severed from the body, it is a mere shadow, incapable of energetic life. And this is the problem. We talked about this. You said everybody has a soul.
Yeah, right.
But it's not true.
We are a soul.
No, we'll go into it. This is very simply. This is just philosophy out there for man to come with. Now, you're not going to be able to hear most of this, but... And that was a problem with Homer, because when you died, you just kind of floated around in a disembodied state. Well, that's really depressing. So then people worked on that and came up with, you know, with the paradise, Olympia, and things like that. So you got to work on this thing. So the Hades, things like that. Well, that's depressing.
Horrible.
You don't want that. And we know the Stoics and the Epicureans. So when a person says they're an atheist or Darwin, Darwin's not new. That was Epicureanism and Stoics. Everything's atoms, and that's it. Which is just, so this is nothing new. We should not be shocked. You know, Darwin was not original. And so the Stoic taught that all existence is material and describes the soul as the breath pervading the body.
A what?
The breath pervading the body. And so obviously when the body dies, the breath stops, and that's the end of it. Absolute immortality they denied. That's understandable. That's the Stoic. Here's Epicureanism, accepted the atomist theory. Souls consist of the finest grain atoms in the universe, finer even than those of wind and heat, which they resemble. Even the exquisite fluency of the soul's movement and thought and sensation. The soul atoms themselves, however, could not exist, exercise their functions if they are not kept together by the body. If this is destroyed, the atoms escape and the life is dissolved. And so, ta-da! The soul and Christian thought. Greco-Roman philosophy made no further progress in the doctrine of the soul in the age immediately preceding the Christian. But, ta-da! The Christian brought it all to come. It wasn't Genesis, you know, with the creation of man. Three terms are used for the soul: nephesh, ruach, and neshama. And that's Hebrew. And that's not true either. The soul is only nephesh. It's never ruach, which is spirit. It's never neshama, which is, you know, is in Genesis 2:7, something they call spirit. And the first was taken to refer to the animal and vegetable nature, which was nephesh. The second to the ethical principle, ruach. I mean, this is ridiculous. Thirdly, to the purely spiritual intelligence. In all events, it is evident that the Old Testament throughout either asserts or implies the distinct reality of the soul, has no bearing whatsoever on that. An important contribution to later Jewish thought was the infusion of Platonism. And that was also done by Philo, and he wrote the deal on the Logos. And so people have the Trinity, you know, John 1:1, the Logos, and Philo did it 100 years before that. So it's all Greek mythology that they came up with. He taught the immediately divine origin of the soul. It was Christianity that, after many centuries of struggle, applied the final criticism to the various psychologies of antiquity and brought their scattered elements of truth to full focus. Psyche and pneuma are used indifferently, either for the principle of natural life or the spirit and strength body. That's not true. Body and soul are recognized as a dualism. Fear ye not them that kill the body, but rather fear them that destroy soul and body in hell. So you get one verse where all of a sudden it appears this way. We find a more technical phraseology employed with a great consistency. Psyche is now appropriate to be purely natural life, and in Greek philosophy, that was the transmigration of the soul. And spirit meant nothing. Pneuma was physical matter, as we have it today. You know what a pneumatic is?
Mm-hmm.
It's air. Pneumatic. Anything. It's just air. It's air in motion. Mm-hmm. And that's what spirit is. Pneuma is. It's life. But they say, pneuma is the life of supernatural religion. This is Catholics. The principle of which is the Holy Spirit dwelling and operating in the heart. You know, so that is people forcing to try to say, we're going to make this book say we want what we want to believe. And that is man. Now we go into here's Joseph Priestley. This is really good. We're going to be doing it. Well, before we do that, let's go to Genesis 1:20. So on this Benjamin Conway, who David is meeting with, I went through every one of his statement of beliefs and put them in a different color to show you false or true, false or true. And here's why it's false. And it's going bam, 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 bam. And I'm like, David, what are you doing with this guy? You know, he's had him there before, and you're like, you have no idea this guy. And even, you know, his ends with the worshiping of Jesus Christ. He doesn't worship Yahweh. He doesn't worship even God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. So I bring that up. You're like, what is this? You know, Jesus is your God, period. And there is no God the Father, and there is no God the Holy Spirit, even though you say it. And I'm like, what are you doing with somebody like that to teach in your church? It's just beyond me. But so David gets to see this now. And he's going, you know, when the guy about an hour ago slammed me back, which I just forward to David. Here's where this guy is. Now, what you can do is, you've got a weekend to bring the truth to this individual, which obviously you have hidden. And he will either change and be delivered for the rest of his life, or he's not, and you should wash your hands of the whole thing, really simply. Because it's dangerous stuff that you're working with to bring something like that into your church. So we look at Genesis 1:20 is the only word they can translate soul in the Old Testament is the word nephesh. And the only one I think whoever does it in the Bible is the Rotherham. Because when they do it correctly, it breaks their doctrine. So we can't do that. Elijah, you want to go stand up? I might get in the back. And verse 20, and Elohim said, let the waters swarm with an abundance of what? Living soul. And you can show Stephen.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
On 20, look at the word creature, the footnote, the little sign, and go, look what that word is. Nephesh.
Yes.
Soul.
Yes, biological soul.
Yeah, right. The soul. Animals are living souls.
Right.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about, does it?
No, not at all.
Now, let's just keep watching. And 21, and Elohim created the great sea monsters and every living soul that moveth, with the water swarming after their kind, every winged beard after its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. Okay, see right here. So soul, and they're not, they don't have a soul. They're called living souls. And in the same book in Deuteronomy, there'll be dead souls. Dead nephesh. And we also find out that the nephesh is in the blood. Yeah, I mean, so this has nothing to do at all with these people. That what they're saying does not exist in this book.
In the thought.
It never has. It never has. Now, you might use the same word, but you have to say, when you say the word soul, what Hebrew word are you saying? And the only one they can say is nephesh, and you say, here's nephesh. And they're going to say, well, that's not what I mean. Absolutely. You can't use the word nephesh. So you just made up your own stuff. So we see on, and that was the fifth day when the living souls came about. And on the sixth day, verse 24, and Elohim said, let the land bring forth living souls. And that's us also. That's the beast, and that's man on the sixth day. The beast are living souls, we're living souls. Very simply. That's what the word means. And then, so here's, this has nothing to do with what you're saying. It's not a part that is separate from you and leaves when you die. And let's talk about death. Now, Yahweh brings in chapter 2, verse 16. And Yahweh Elohim laid command on the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Die. Thou shalt die. Well, according to pagan Christianity, is your body dies, but your soul departs. Well, if that's the case, and this Joseph Priest has a great point, that your body's what's really holding you back anyway. So if you can have your body killed by Yahweh, your soul is released.
That's Greek mythology, right?
Yeah, well, that's right. And so you're actually released. And so I'd be doing me a favor. In verse chapter 3, verse 19, and when this, you know, this Benjamin Conway is, every person is a spirit, soul, and body belonging. Look in Genesis. It's right there in Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread until thou return to the ground, and your soul will go off to heaven.
Nope.
Because therefore was thou taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That's a pronoun. It means not your body, it means you. Very simply. So what you're serving is not in this book. And we know in the resurrection, where life can come about, is we know about the tree of life in Genesis 2 and 3. So the tree of life is saying, you can take of the tree of life, but right now you can't, because we banish you from the garden, so you do not take of the tree of life, which that shows you about what they call immortality. If you eat of the tree of life, you'll live forever. So we know about what they call a resurrection by that. And that's also in, well, let's go to Isaiah 26:19, page 670.
26?
Yeah, Isaiah 26:19. So a lot of this obviously is old news for you, but I'm going to put another slant on it. So man is material. Very simply, there is no immaterial. Now, how Yahweh gets all this out with the personality and everything else, that's up to him. It's over our pay grade.
Yeah.
Now, one person said, Henry could understand the Ford, but the Ford could never understand Henry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, why do you even try to go there?
Einstein could understand his dog, but his dog could not understand Einstein.
Yeah. 26:19, thy dead shall come to life again, my dead body they shall arise. Awake and shout for joy, ye that dwell in the what?
Dust.
For a dew of light is thy dew, and earth to the shade shall give birth. That's the resurrection.
Yeah.
Our whole hope, as we're back to, is the resurrection. And then a person could also go to Daniel 12, 1 through 3. So, we know that's the foundation of everything. When we go to sleep, we have one, and that's why Christ's resurrection was pivotal. He's the first, only one, but according to Christianity, everybody's in heaven already. Or they're in paradise. It makes no difference whatsoever about the resurrection.
They're all waiting on him. Hurry up, come on, man.
And then even in that case...
Thanks for saving me a place.
Yeah. You know, Christ didn't die, only his body died. Because his soul didn't die, right?
Right.
So his body died. So Christ didn't die for your sins. His body died for your sins.
He only left for a little while.
Well, Christ wasn't raised... His body was raised because Christ never died. And now, what kind of foolishness and anything like that that even considers that? How demonic to be able to say that Christ didn't die, because we know what the Copeland say, absent from the body is present with the Lord. And he only pre-existed anyway. He was God anyway. So none of this stuff even makes, who cares? He never died because he's always existed. He was never born because he always existed. So he's not a son, and he doesn't have a father either because he always existed. You can't be a son if you're never born.
Right.
And you can't be if you're never born, you don't have a father. And that's what we're talking about, gibberish. It's just gibberish. And in the statement of beliefs, you see that over and over and over again is gibberish. And it's don't look behind the curtain.
Yeah.
No,
like
believe me. I'm going to talk with such authority, that we're going to believe that the man has a soul, and this is spirit, soul, and body. That's the guy who's with David now. Now we're going to go to John 11. Let's look at Lazarus' resurrection. And I'm going to read it to you according to how the Christian church does it today. And you guys can follow along.
Wait a minute. 11:11?
Yeah, we're going to read the whole chapter.
Ooh.
Chapter 1. Excuse me. Everybody ready?
Yep.
John chapter 11.
105.
Lazarus. There's going to be a little bit of 12. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany of the village of Mary and Martha, his sister. And Mary was she who anointed the Lord with perfume to wipe his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick, his soul might be going to heaven. The sisters therefore, because we know a severe sickness is death, which means your soul is going to heaven.
What to teach.
The sisters therefore sent out unto him, saying, Lord, see, he who thou tenderly lovest, soul might be going to heaven. But Yahushua hearing said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of Yahweh, that the Son of Yahweh may be glorified thereby. Now Yahushua loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore he heard that he was sick, then indeed he abode in the place where he was 2 days. Then after this he said unto the disciples, let us be lead on into Judea again. The disciples said unto him, Rabbi, just now were the Jews seeking to put your soul into heaven? And again, goest thou thither? Yahushua answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walk in a day, he doth not stumble, because the light of this world he seeth. But if one walk in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after this he said unto them, Lazarus, our dear friend's soul has gone to heaven. But I am going that I may take his soul out of heaven and put it back into his body. The disciples therefore said unto him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. But Yahushua has spoken concerning his soul going to heaven. Whereas they had supposed that concerning the taking of rest and sleep he had been speaking. Yahushua therefore then said unto them plainly, Lazarus' soul is in heaven. And I rejoice for your sake that you may believe that I was not there. But let us be going unto him. Because absent from the body is present with the Lord, right? Yeah. So was Lazarus absent from the body? Yeah, his body was dead. Thomas, therefore, the one called Didymus, said unto his fellow disciples, let us also be going, that our bodies may die and our souls go to heaven with him. Yahushua, therefore, coming, found that 4 days already has his soul been in heaven. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many from among the Jews had come unto Martha and Mary, that they might celebrate with them concerning their brother's soul going to heaven. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Yahushua was coming, went to meet him, but Mary in the house remained sitting. Martha, therefore, said unto Yahushua, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother's soul would not be in heaven. And now I know that whatsoever thou shalt ask of Yahweh, Yahweh will give unto thee. Yeah, how selfish to bring Lazarus out of heaven back to earth. How selfish. The height of Mary and Martha's selfishness is beyond even thinking about it. Because that means he's going to have to die again. Which he already went through once. Yahushua said unto her, thy brother's soul shall be brought back into his body. Martha said unto him, I know that his soul shall come back from heaven and be put back in his body in the resurrection, in the last day. Yahushua said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, even though his soul go to heaven, it shall be brought back to his body, and they shall live again. And no one who liveth again and believeth on me shall anywise die unto time's age of body. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, he who into the world should come. And this saying, she went away and called Martha, her sister, secretly, saying, the teacher is present and calleth thee. And she, when she heard, was roused up quickly and was coming unto him. Not yet, however, had Yahushua come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. The Jews, therefore, who were with her in the house and rejoicing with her, seeing Mary, that quickly she arose and went out, following her, supposing that she was withdrawing from the unto the tomb, that she might praise Yahweh for Lazarus' soul being in heaven. Mary, therefore, when she came where Yahushua was seeing him, fell at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother's soul would not be in heaven. Thank God you didn't come. Right? Yeah, this is Christianity.
That's what he says. Yeah. Churches are teaching.
Yeah, he's reading.
Yeah,
he's reading. Yahushua, therefore, when he saw her rejoicing, and the Jew, because why not would you rejoice if your brother's in heaven? Saw her rejoicing, the Jews who came with her rejoicing were celebrating in the spirit and pleasing himself. And said, what have you? Where have you laid his body? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Yahushua smiled. The Jews, therefore, were saying, see how tenderly he loved him. But some among them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind and caused that this one's soul also should not have gone to heaven? Yahushua, therefore, again, being pleased within himself, cometh unto the tomb. Now it was a cave, and the stone was laying thereon. Yahushua said, take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for it is 4 days. Yahushua said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of Yahweh? So they took away the stone, and Yahushua lifted up his eyes on high and said, Father, I thank thee that thou didst hear me. I indeed knew that always unto me thou dost hearken, but for the sake of the multitude standing around I spake, that they might believe that thou didst send me forth. And these things having said with a loud voice, he cried out, Lazarus' soul, leave heaven and re-enter his body. And he that was in heaven re-entered his body upon the earth, bound feet and hands within bandages, and his face with a napkin was bound about. Yahushua said to him, loosen him and let him go. And then on verse 53, from that day therefore they, the Jews, took counsel that they might put Yahushua's soul into heaven. Now verse 1, Yahushua, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came into Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Yahushua had taken his soul from heaven and returned to his body upon the earth. Verse 9. The great multitude of the Jews, therefore, got to know that he was there and came not on account of Yahushua only, but that Lazarus also they might see, whom he had taken his soul from heaven and returned it to his body. And verse 10, but the high priest took counsel that Lazarus' soul also they might put back into heaven. Because many of the Jews, by reason of him, were dry and believing on Yahushua. That is Pathway Church. That is every Catholic church. That is basically every Protestant church. They cannot deny that. And that's why we need to present it to them.
They don't want to deny it.
No, but you just say, this is it, guys. And you better come to grips with that, because Judgment Day is coming. And a great article this guy did, this whole book on matter, or atoms and the soul. He writes down here, notwithstanding the very general spread of this philosophical system, he was talking about the soul, whether it's material or immaterial, what people have thought, and everything else, it is remarkable that the minds of the Jews were long uncontaminated with it, the garbage. The doctrine of revelation concerning a future life for man depends upon the resurrection of the dead, and has no other foundation whatever. No other ground of hope is so much as hinted at in any part of the Old or New Testament, and though it is possible that some of the learned Pharisees in our Savior's time might have been infected with other notions borrowed from the Greeks or from the East, they appear not to have been known to the vulgar among the Jewish nation, as it is sufficiently evident from the history of the death and resurrection of Lazarus. From this valuable history, you find that Martha, the sister of Lazarus, had no hope respecting her brother but from the resurrection of the last day.
Wow.
So he never came in and all this other stuff. That's why we fight not to die, John 11:24. And our Lord gives her no consolation but on the same ground. Resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Had the notion of a separate soul released from the fetters of flesh and enjoy consummate happiness in another life been known to them and believed by them, it could not but have been uttermost in their minds, and some mention of it or some allusion to it would certainly have been found in the history, whereas no such thing appears. This belief of a resurrection as the only foundation of a future life evidently existing and being universally received in the time of our Savior, there can hardly be a doubt but that it must have been the belief of the most early Jews and patriarchs. And since this doctrine could never have been suggested by any appearance of nature, and this is very important.
Any what?
Appearance of nature. So nature, and nature is a bad word.
Creation.
You know, nature means born, birth. That's what it means. That's where we get the word nativity. So the word today, we have no association whatsoever with the meaning of the word. But Yahweh's creation shows us there's a creator, right? And he shows us that he cares for us, and we can get a lot of information without the book, right? And primitive, I mean, man who doesn't have the book can come up with that. Love your neighbor as yourself, treat people like you treat yourself. Well, that's common sense. You don't have to be taught that. But there is no way you can look at the creation and see resurrection. You can see things sleep in the winter, and then they appear to be dead, but they weren't dead. But there's no way you can come up with a resurrection except by what they call revealed revelation, which is the scriptures.
Revealed revelation.
Yeah, revealed religion. It's called revealed religion.
Okay.
Is revelation. Natural religion has nothing to do with the book. It's just what you see, and that is Romans 1:18. What's been known of me has been shown by you, so you're without excuse. Every man knows who's the creator, period. There is no atheist, there is no agnostic. They'll say it, they only will not bow to the creator. But that's it. Let me see. And since this doctrine could never have been suggested by any appearance in nature, it must have been derived from some original revelation, probably prior to the flood. Well, yeah, with Adam and Eve. That's the hope of eating of the tree of life, very simply. And we know also the promise that the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the adversary. So you know this is not the end, because we were not man like a dog to lie down and die, and that's the end of us.
I think it is in nature, or our nature, to think that this can't be the end, though.
Yeah, and everybody
knows. So every human goes, there's got to be more.
Yeah,
you see a baby die or an animal die, and there's got to be more, so that's it. That's ingrained in humans.
Another thing, too, you ask people is, well, where are they? well, they're in heaven. And they're like, well, what about all the scriptures that said the dead can't praise Yahweh?
Yeah.
Well, then what are they doing? Are they in a separate chamber? Oh, no, they're with God, you know, is what you
think. They can't do that because if they're in heaven, then obviously you come up that death is good. Yeah. And death is the portal. Yeah. It's not the coming of Christ. What we're looking for is to die. Because die puts me into heaven. So why would I ever go to a doctor? Why would I ever take any immunization or vaccination of any kind? Because the sooner I die, the more glory I'm going to have. And that's why abortionists are putting people into heaven. Children, this is your concoction, and this is what you have done, and there's no way you can undo that. That's what you teach. That's what you believe. Ah, la, 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 la. That's the consequences. So pray, if you can, for a guy named Benjamin Conway. They're having a big revival in Meru Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And so this guy's got to be really heated. All right, but David's got a chance to be able to say, man, you know, and I sent this to David also. So this guy believes in the soul. Well, just read this.
You said the Gospel of John?
Yeah.
Perfect.
And so I think we can get that to a lot of people.
This is what you
mean. And just read that, and you have to believe that. That it was terrible to take Lazarus out of heaven. To die again.
He's in paradise.
Yeah, he's in paradise, in heaven. And why would you want anybody to be raised from the dead?
So selfish.
I mean, and so, oh. And so it's like, wake up! You're slumbering. And people have to go, you're right. You're right. Death is not our friend. It's an enemy. So by doing this, we can post this and put it on Facebook and things like that. Just let them read it. And they're going to say, that's hideous. Yes! Yes, it is. And that's what you believe in. That's what you're being taught by your pastor. Now go take that to your pastor.
Yeah, the last enemy.
Yeah.
Is death, what?
Yeah. It's just, and here is T.D. Jakes.
T.D. Jakes.
Yeah, I've got a whole deal on him. Death is the portal to heaven. Yeah, I mean, our adversary just rejoices.
Yeah, he's over a this ball, stuff.
Yeah, just a ball. I mean, you're right up there, guy. You're right with us. But these guys are going to be judges, so I'll go ahead and end. Father, we thank you. And we're going to have a word of prophecy for the people who are listening or seeing. But Father, we thank you for these words and for that deliverance that we can share with other people. Through Mashiach Yahushua, begin each day in meditation and in counsel, considering what my will is for you. I do have a will for you each day, so meditate and follow the desires of your heart that are godly, that are being directed by me. So at all times, seek in and count in, and I will give you great duties to perform, that you may be a blessing to me, that you may bear much fruit, and that I may give you back much fruit to prosper you, so the world can see that you're my ambassador working for me and not for the adversary. Amen. See you next week.
Amen.